Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Be with department heads and elected officials. Be back there. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
I'm back here now. I have an agenda item later on, so I'll leave everything to that.
Congratulations, it looks like the election went pretty well.
Yes.
With a minimum amount of problems, I heard things went really well out of the COVID.
Yes.
Two or three people told me they just.
It went very smoothly for as many people as we had out there, which during a general election, that's what we can get at just one precinct. But it went pretty smooth, we're proud of it, so everything did well.
Good, congratulations. Collinger, CIT.
Just been busy like always, nothing to report, so.
Okay, got you moved too.
Yep.
Rodney Bleasner, Maintenance.
Good morning, we're really busy, would like to thank SEC and Byron Whittlesey, I think is how you pronounce his last name. With the voting stuff out there at SEC, it did go really well. For us, we only had two precincts to deliver to, we had a lot of stuff to deliver, but also thank Minneapolis, that went really well as well, I think. So everybody did a good job there. Opening yesterday went fairly well, I guess. We had a lot of people come through here, so I'm guessing between probably 400 to 500 people yesterday, and probably, I'm guessing 80% of those were in the treasurer's office, if not more. So they were really swamped yesterday. It was a lot of people, a little bit of confusion, but we had a lot of signs up and didn't really hear any complaints. Everybody was pretty good with everything, keeping their distance and wearing their masks and whatnot. So I think it went pretty well. So hoping for the same today. Hopefully it slows down a little bit, but for the most part, I think everybody did good. So. Other than that, I have nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you
for all that, Rodney. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Things are moving along. Gear Avenue poured concrete again yesterday, so hope to do one more pour in the next, I'd say, 2 to 3 weeks maybe. Which, I mean, then there'll be some tie-in work and stuff, but that'll finish the mainline concrete at least. So that's come along and looks good. Mediapolis Road, bridges are moving along. Beams are set, like I told you last week, and they're slowly starting to work towards the forming of the decks. We had to get some elevation shots and stuff, so there's a lapse in there before they can really start doing a lot of forming. So they haven't gotten real far on that, but they are making headway. Iowa City Road is looking really good. Streb is hoping to come in and shoulder. Do the rock shoulders on that Thursday and Friday this week, and they're hoping to have that open by the 4th of July, if not even a little before that. So things are moving on that, and guys got a lot of ditching done. We finished ditching on North Gear, and that's a project we've been trying to work on forever, and between last year at the end of the year and this spring, they just wrapped that up, and a lot of stuff going on, so it's making some headway, and we'll just see what kind of rain we get.
Did the strip got started paving 61
yet? I was going to mention that. Thanks for the reminder. They did. So if you head north out of town, the lanes that they're going to pave, that's part of this part of the project, kind of going down the hill towards the bridge, those are done. In fact, they tied into the new bridge. And into Flint Bottom there, where that connection is. So that's all connected now, and they are actually working their way up the hill with the paver making headway. They had a rough first week with breakdowns and some issues like that, but it looks to me like things are rolling. I I've got plenty of other stuff to do. I guess I would just warn people that when they get near an intersection, there's a lot of lights, and it's easy for people to, some people want to get going and some people want to gawk, and you got to kind of be careful with when you get near that construction. But so a lot of activity. Obviously the plant's up on the corner there at Sperry, so you got to pay attention there too, because there's a lot of trucks in and out there. But they are moving.
Good. Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Krista Pogano, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to keep busy. New guidance came out with the Department of Public Health, so we want to make sure that we always get that information out to everyone. We're continuing with our COVID investigations and our contact tracing, so we keep pretty busy with that. And as Ron mentioned, we opened up the courthouse yesterday, and we have staff down there that's doing screening, and we did go through 400 masks yesterday, and plus probably a third of the people coming in brought in their own masks, so it was a busy place. We're going to work with the treasurer's office today, see if we can figure out a way that if they start getting quite a few people up there, maybe kind of slowing that down a little bit, and let us know, and maybe hold a few and have them wait downstairs or something, and maybe kind of stagger that, because they were very busy yesterday. So.
Good. Thank you. And just for the department head, we might have that COVID-19 policy, since the state's come out with new guidance. We'll look at that. We might have to modify that again and send it out. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tomorrow is our normal SEAL region meetings, and I know our 9 o'clock change agent meeting's been canceled, so there won't be a 9 o'clock meeting. We're still doing those over the Zoom, and the 1:30 governing board meeting will happen. I know one thing that the management team is gonna have a Zoom meeting in the morning and talk about our cash flow for each of the 8 counties, and what counties have enough money to send the final payment into the region. So we'll be putting together something for the governing board tomorrow on that. And we'll be finalizing those contracts, contract renewals at the governing board tomorrow too, and a few other items. So that's about all I have right now.
Thanks, Kim. Mike Johnstone, Boone County Sheriff.
There's a time, huh, Tom? Sorry. I'll maybe stall out a few minutes. Anyway, all's good.
Started to defund law enforcement. We didn't mean your place to sit.
Thanks a lot. I think my budget's set for now.
I think you're okay.
Well, with that said, I will say we do have a tremendous community support, and I do appreciate that. And from I've heard many good things about that, so we do appreciate that. A lot of folks thanking us for what we do. A difficult time for us, as well as the entire community, the entire country. So, but we do appreciate the support we do have, because we do have a job to do and continue to do it. So, hopefully this whole thing will get squared away. We'll make the right changes and move on. So, other than that, all's good.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
So, Mike, if they defund police departments, does that mean we have to go back and hire thug service to protect us?
It's an interesting, scenario in some of these other, places that they talk about eliminating law enforcement and those kind of things. And I think that's an extreme reaction. This type of thing is. I would say you have to think these things out. And to get long-term solutions, it takes long-term thinking, forward thinking, and those kind of things. So, I hope they don't. I hope they don't do that. I think it's the criminal element in this country will take advantage of that big time.
Oh my!
So people need to think a little bit down the road. And
only
criminal
thing
element.
Only thing I can think that's probably helping is gun sales.
Yeah. Yeah, it, as we all know, most public entities are probably, there are a lot of watchdogs, board of supervisors, city councils, those kind of things, keep an eye on those type of funds and those type of, so generally not overfunded. Just generally there's not money running out the door for law enforcement or for any type of public you know, any type of public service. So when you start cutting that, it would mean a tremendous amount, a tremendous hurt to any entity, be it county roads or sheriff's office or fire departments or anything like that. It would be a big hit. And there will be people who take advantage of law enforcement or take care, advantage of people if that happens, which would be sad. Long term, it's not a good option. So there are solutions, but that's not one of them.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Cheryl McVay, Budget Director.
I have an agenda item.
Janelle Nellie Longquist, Treasurer, and who got most of the heat yesterday.
But you know what? Good morning, by the way. I think Rodney and Krista covered most of it, but thanks to the public for their patience and understanding, and for thanks to the staff for their persistence and knocking that line down, too. They did an awesome job. And just, Rodney, thank you for checking in several times yesterday to see how things were going with us. And Krista, I had compliments on your staff and how helpful. The screening process was great and how helpful she was, too, getting everybody everywhere. So I think I covered everybody. But, yeah, we're just keeping busy, obviously.
Janelle, I hear you was really busy yesterday. So thank your staff for
I will.
I hear the line was clear down to the court service.
Several times.
Let's see, buddy. Have we got anybody on though?
Yeah, we got a few.
Okay.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. We had our board meeting last week on Wednesday. We had it at the Nature Center up in the lofts. First time we've gotten together in person since the COVID stuff came along. It worked out pretty good up in the loft. We got plenty of space up there to do the social distancing. Got a presentation from Southeast Iowa Regional Planning regarding the Greater Burlington Bike and Pedestrian Plan, which the board subsequently adopted. We also had a discussion on vendor permitting in our parks, and that's something we're going to be working on over the next month and taking up again next month. Our cabin, shower house, and buildings are open now. Stars Cave, as per our usual hours, is open during the week by appointment only because our staff is generally out. And so be sure to call first there, and then we are open on weekends. Those hours are posted on our website. And then finally, summer camp sign up for the few summer camps that we are going to have. We have scaled them back quite a bit. We've modified them significantly in light of the pandemic. All of our camps will be at the Nature Center with a couple of them at Big Hollow. The summer camp sign up opens on June 16th, so that's next Tuesday for folks wanting to sign up for the few camps that we will be offering. Other than that, the Big Hollow was full again this last weekend. We did have a number of sites available at our other campgrounds, though, but Big Hollow remains full, and the kayak usage up there is still just unbelievable, the number of kayaks we have out there. I've got several reports from people that have gone to Dick's Sporting Goods to try to buy kayaks and can't ever seem to find them. One of my board members talked to employees there at Dick's, and they said in a matter of 48 hours, they sold 35 kayaks off their shelves, basically cleaned them out. Largely due to the fact that we put in that dock up there at Big Hollow. So that's pretty neat, I guess, energizing the economy or something. So I think that's it for this week.
Thanks, Chris.
Jared Lasseter, Land Use.
Jared Lasseter, Land Use.
Good morning. Well, we've alluded to this a little bit last week, but we had business as usual for the most part with new land use inquiries, but the big challenge is now dealing with the fallout of that amendment to the state code regarding county zoning, which was signed by the governor last week. So as a result of that, unfortunately, that means we will lose two of the existing members of the zoning commission within the chairman and one of the five members of the board of adjustment. Thankfully, we have enough people on each of those boards who do reside in the 2 mile area that this doesn't restrict our ability to hold meetings. We actually have a quorum plus one for each of them right now, 5 out of 7 and 4 out of 5. So it's not imperative that we fill those positions immediately. We'll be looking, obviously looking into that, but it's, we do have one item of business that should be ready to go to the zoning commission shortly, and we should be able to go ahead with that. The present format, although we will have to obviously delegate a new chairman. We're still in the process of evaluating the long-term strategy for dealing with this change. Number of possibilities, possibly having a second commission that specifically deals with subdivisions alone. That way it can have membership from throughout the county, as opposed to the zoning commission where it's only dealing with a small area around the city of Burlington, possibly reducing the membership from 7 to 5. These are just ideas we're considering at this point. We'll bring those forward for discussion with the commission and likely with the board at a future date as we get some more input on that and decide how we want to proceed with that. Apart from that, we do have one agenda item for today, and that's all I really have.
Okay, thanks, Jared. Zach and I, Representative Kerr, I contacted all our local representatives about that zoning commission change, and he got a hold of a legislator that sent me an email, and so Zach James and I ended up talking to him Friday morning. I don't remember what day it was anyway, and so he said he was going to work on it, and I haven't heard from him since, so we weren't...
That may have been the person that mentioned the idea of a separate commission. I know I talked to Zach about that last week. That may have been the one referring to.
But we explained our dilemma to him, and he understood that, but apparently that's as far as it went. So anyway, tell Zach I appreciate his time. Thank you, Jared. Oh, I forgot.
Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Good morning, everyone. As Tom mentioned earlier, the state now has came out with the guideline for reopening, and we have somewhat of a six-page checklist that we have to comply with in order to open up the clerk's offices. So Judge Brown and I this afternoon are going to go through the checklist, go into the courtrooms and mark off with, albeit blue masking tape, where folks can sit and still maintain social distance. Also providing extra hand sanitizer and disinfectant wipes out at the public terminals. So we can get open, hopefully, for a few weeks prior to actually having the in-person hearings, because it's just only going to get busier from here. And I did notice that the treasurer's office, there were several folks in the hallway. So we as well are ready to get back to business full time. So that's all I really have.
Jackie, are those guidelines, are those the Supreme Court guidelines?
Yes. They should be the one and the same. We got those issued late Friday afternoon. And I can most definitely share the checklist with you folks. I can send those by email later this morning. They're pretty straightforward, and a lot of the stuff we've already complied with. The main stuff that I have to address is the seating in the courtroom, and which will help us figure out, you know, the number of people that can be allowed in there and still maintain the social distancing. I mean, the needs are just mainly for bench trials. The jury trial issue is going to be a whole nother thing to deal with, and we're just trying to take one thing at a time right now.
It was my understanding that when they said that they weren't going to have a non-jury criminal legal proceedings starting, I believe, the middle of July, and 2 weeks later for non-jury civil proceedings, and then not have jury trials till the middle of September. But it said individual counties could do that, open the courtrooms sooner if they met those guidelines. Did I understand that right?
That's my understanding too. So, I really would like to have that earlier because we have backlogs of cases, but it would be nice to clear the non-jury trials It would be nice to have some time to get that backlog caught up before we go into the jury trials in September. But time will tell, Tom. It's just every day it's a changing thing, and then new information comes out. But that's my hopes, and that's my understanding, too, that if we met those guidelines and Judge Brown has to sign off on them, that we can open up earlier than the July 13 date.
Okay. Good luck. Let us know if there's anything we can do to help.
Oh, you guys have done more than I could ever ask for. So I'm so appreciative. I'm appreciative of the health department being down there screening folks, and overall, all those people that I've talked with have been very receptive and appreciative. So I think it's gone really well, better than what I could have expected.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning, everyone. Not a lot of new things to report. We did not receive a copy of those guidelines, so we don't even know what they are. But it's still important to know that most of our bench trials actually occur in associate court, and it is ultimately the decision of the associate court judges as to when those trials will be set. My understanding is they still intend to do as much as they can as far as juvenile matters. They're still doing those by phone. They intend to still be doing it that way, just because we tend to get a lot of people in a juvenile case, multiple children, multiple parents, which means multiple attorneys. But yeah, it will ultimately be up to the individual judges downstairs as to when they'll be starting their bench trial dockets. Other than that, we're just plodding along nicely.
Thanks, Lisa.
That's all I have.
Okay. I don't think I missed anybody. COVID-19 update. Anything you'd like to update, Krista?
We continue to meet with the emergency operations center once a week. We're still opening up the emergency operations center, and we'll have that debriefing today, but just continuing to watch to see how the case count is, and that curve has been good. I mean, it's been going nice and flat, and our counts have been very slow, so, which is good.
Okay, correspondence. I have no correspondence. Do you, gentlemen?
No.
I did have a gentleman stop me, and he was asking about, well, this might pertain to Brian a little bit, the dead end roads. He went out there, and this was a delivery guy, and he got on Link Road, looked for the address, and he got up, and the address wasn't there, and the bridge was out, so he had to turn around and come back and go around and come back in. He was wondering if there's any way that they could put which ones are, you know, like which house numbers on there, but I told him that might be a 911 situation.
Links Road's been closed for almost 10 years, Jim.
I understand that, but I'm just giving you a concern of a concerned citizen.
I'll take into a note. I don't intend to put up any more signs because nobody looks at them.
You just got to know
the routes. And,
you know, he was concerned about it, and I just happened to stop Casey's for a cup of coffee. And
especially if you start to add up the dead end roads. That's one example where there was a bridge, but we have a lot of dead end roads, just in general. I don't know if that's the thought process. That would be the first I've heard of that, to be honest with you.
He won't worry about it next time, will he?
No, he'll know where to go the next time, that's for sure. But he was concerned about it, and he just wanted me to bring it up, so I did.
All right, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. If FedEx had put up the money, we'd put the bridge back in.
How do you know it was FedEx?
Well, probably. I just figured it was out there.
A little cost share. That'll be an expensive bridge. So, all right. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
No correspondence. We will proceed to discussion and vote. We have a resolution and final plat for Oak Arbor
Farm subdivision. Jared, you might want to address this.
So this is a one-lot minor subdivision created. The lot will be over 5 acres. It's off of Hunt Road, southwest of the airport. And the intention of this subdivision is to split off an existing house from the surrounding farm ground to be sold to someone else to be reoccupied for a residence. It will result in a landlocked lot. However, there is an existing, long-existing easement that comes off of Hunt Road and has historically been used for the farmer on either side of that driveway for access. And the plat has that retained as a 30-foot wide access and utility easement for the residents on lot one. The major complication of this one, or at least and initially kind of jarring when you realize it, is that this is actually split between the city of Burlington and Union Township. This relates to that section line, which has been served as the city boundary for well over 100 years now. And unfortunately, in a couple of cases where the road is diagonal, you end up with properties that end up straddling the lines. This amazingly ends up being the second time in the span of just 3 years where we've had a subdivision in this little area where you end up creating two lots instead of one because one is actually in a different jurisdiction than the other. As I understand it, the person intending to buy this lot has applied to the city of Burlington requesting to have the property severed, be annexed from the city to the county. And it sounds like they're receptive to that idea, which basically takes the almost 4 acres of lot one that are in the city and take it out, but the entirety of lot one is in the county. That has not been finalized yet, but it is in progress. So it's most likely the subdivision will be finalized first, but both of those are going through with the long-term intention of lot one being entirely within the county, since it is in an area of the city opposite on the south side of the airport where there's no existing city utilities or plans for extensions into that area. And then in terms of the subdivision review, of course, that's certainly involved city territory as well as land within the 2 miles. So that has been reviewed by the city of Burlington and it was approved by their council at their meeting last Monday. So apart from that, our review process, no significant comments from any of the department heads or utilities. And we did receive the fence waiver for the property owner to the west of lot one. So that's all I have. I think it's pretty straightforward. Apart from the complication of the city boundary, it's pretty straightforward what they're planning to do here. So we would recommend approval of Oak Harbor Farm subdivision.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
We'll get that signed after the meeting. We have a resolution for the interfund transfer from fiscal 2021. Unless anybody wants to hear this read, I won't read it. What it is the about, what is that, third or secondary roads funding maybe? 30%, something like that. Comes from $3 of the rural services levy, about $3, and about 17 cents of the general levy go to the secondary roads fund. And to do that, accounting-wise, it counts as the tax as income to those funds. Then they expend that by giving it to secondary roads. It's income to secondary roads funds. Then it's expense when they spend it. But we have to transfer that to secondary roads. And so this is a resolution to accomplish that.
I'll second that as long as the engineer spends it wisely.
That's why they were here to keep an eye on you.
We'll do our best and keep them going.
I thought Bob was going to second if you'd read it.
Well, I'm happy to read it, although I don't know that. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
And credit to Terry on that whole subject, because there have been instances in the distant past where these transfers weren't made in timely manners, and that really messed the budgets up. So credit to Terry for that not being an issue. Yeah.
You can't go back and fix it after you missed it.
I think it makes for a lot of work of reopening things and redoing things.
Yeah, fiscal year gets closed.
So she's on the ball, but that's nice not to have to watch out for something that you really shouldn't have to watch out
for. That's why Outlook calendar works well to remind you too.
Thank you, Terry.
It's nice that somebody's got your back, isn't it, Brian?
Yep, I'll take it.
I believe this would be Cheryl. This is a fiscal 2021 appropriations.
So we have a request for $46,458,854 for next year's total budget request. That includes $8,096,771 in fiscal agent accounts. So the county's portion of that is $38,362,083. But we have to appropriate and spend the money.
Can't spend it until it's appropriated.
That's correct.
Not to have spending authority.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Cost Advisory Services. Cost Advisory Services goes through our books and tells us how much we've spent, like on DHS, how much of our overhead can be allotted, and we get reimbursed by DHS and various entities for portions of our overhead that are expended for expenses that the county isn't mandated to incur. And they do it for quite a bit less than we receive. Anyway, so we have a contract with Cost Advisory Services, and the annual fee for Des Moines County is not changing from the prior three-year contract and will remain at $6,100.
You ready for a motion?
I am.
I move to approve the contract.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have an agreement with Howard Neihardt Company. Was it for accounting services for fiscal 20, the fee is $4,200, and for fiscal 21, it's $2,600. They provide actuarial services and tell us, you know, how much the county's share of IPERS and
health insurance.
So
OPEP type stuff.
This is something. This is the feds or the states came up with? The feds, wasn't it?
It's a GAP committee. The GASB
committee.
Stuff.
Made up company and created a lot of work for some accounting organizations.
Move to approve.
Second.
She'll fill that in.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Okay. This next one had to be explained to me a couple times. Anyway, it's a system of care, mental health wraparound contract. Originally, the county's not allowed to spend mental health funds because the estate left us with raising the revenue, but they gave spending authority to the regions. So this, but region, we're getting $50,000 basically from DHS. But we're the fiscal agent, and plus they need a federal ID number. And SEAL would like to have a federal ID number, but they haven't been able to get one yet. So I think they're working on that. So anyway, so the money has to flow through, it flows through us to get to the SEAL region. How's that? That explained that pretty well. Cheryl, Ken?
That's a good explanation. I was wondering about it too. I hadn't heard all the details to that one.
Okay.
You need motion?
We do.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Quite a lengthy contract too when you start reading that, you know it?
Oh.
Too many lawyers wrote that when I got reading that.
It's not the clearest document.
No, it wasn't.
We have personnel actions. For the engineer's office, we have Eric Marshall, a seasonal worker, a new hire at $11 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And for
excuse me, I was going to ask, is this young man taking engineering classes?
No, this is a shop kid. He's just working on the shop. He actually worked last year for us in the shop also. We try to hire two kids in the shop every year, but we found one this year, so it's just the way it goes.
Well, if you go and set your heart on, you know.
It's terrible, isn't it? Show up at work.
Yeah.
And we have a personal action for local health. Is it Maya Rashid, CNA, a new hire, full-time, temporary, CNA, $13.17 an hour, employment from June 5th, 2020 to August 14th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And in the sheriff's office, we have Jennifer Hartman, a part-time clerk, 36-month step increase. Previous rate was $16.44 an hour. The new rate is $16.94 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have reports. We have the report for Veterans Affairs for May 2020. This will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review, either in person or electronically. Would that be correct?
Yes.
minutes for the regular meeting of June 2nd, 2020.
Move to approve.
Sergeant.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. And a canvas of the 2020 primary election results.
And everybody should have a copy of the summary and precinct by precinct. At your desk, and then the official documents are in the folder.
Okay.
And I did change, I was explaining to the media that I changed the registered voters, the number, from the original unofficial results, because our Unison election equipment only allowed us to enter in the Democrats and the Republicans, which doesn't give us a true registered voter count, because this system is also used in other states where they have a closed primary where they don't, you have to be registered as a Democrat or Republican by a certain date in order to vote at that election, where ours is more open because election day registrations are available, and then also somebody can choose what party ballot they want to vote that day at the election. So ours changes quite a bit. So I took all of our no party and other parties and divided those for each precinct, and I divided those up and added those, equally divided them into the Democrats and Republicans, just so I could get the true count of registered voters in Des Moines County. Because before, I think the unofficial results had a little over 18,000 voters, and then with the number of absentees and voting at the polls, it made it look like we had like 35% of a turnout. But by adding another 9,000 registered voters into the mix, which gives a more true account for Des Moines County, so our registered voters are 27,952 for total ballots that we counted at 6,706 for a 23.99% turnout, which is very good.
That is for primary, that's pretty good.
Yes, very good, very good.
Historically, anyway.
Yep, and so after...
Our expectations aren't very high.
After the election, yeah, they usually are, because our last one was 4 years ago. I think we only had maybe 1,200 or 1,300 people registered, that actually voted at that election. And after the election, we received 264 more ballots. We counted 164 of those, because 100 of them were postmarked the day of the election or afterwards, which we can't count those. And then there were several of them where the people did not sign their affidavit envelopes. So all those have been sent letters notifying them that their ballot did not count because it was postmarked too late, and it was they didn't sign their affidavit. So for
as a practical matter, I don't think any of the races were close enough that would have mattered.
No, they weren't. I mean, even the ones that did have several candidates running in them, they weren't close. So we've got all of our regular federal and state elections, which once we send the results up to the state, then those will be combined with all the other counties. And so we really can't designate a winner for those, just who was the top vote getter in our county. But for local races, we can, for supervisors on the Republican side, Nita Covert, is the winner on the Republican side. For the supervisors on the Democrat, we've got Jim Carrey and Bob Beck, since it's a vote for two.
Congratulations.
And for county sheriff on the Republican Party, George Rinker was the top one on that race. And then for the Democrat Party, it's Kevin Glendening. And for county auditor, Republican Party, there was no candidate that filed, and all of those write-ins were pretty well scattered. So there was not no one designated winner in that. And then, of course, my position.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I just want to thank, ditto what Rodney said with SEC. They were fantastic to work with. When we were trying to decide you know, how to run this election because of everything that was going on, and try to find one location. First, we were looking at several small sites, and then we thought, you know, we just didn't know what the turnout was going to be. And so we were looking for a large location, and when I emailed Dr. Ash, he replied back within probably 2 to 3 hours and said, okay, I'm copying to these two guys, work with them, we'll be glad to help you. And the new building out there just was fantastic. I think Rodney was kind of spoiled at only having to go to two precincts to deliver equipment. But other than that, you know, everything, and we did, we got a lot of comments that people liked it because it was one way in and one way out. So it was,
that's what I heard.
People weren't walking over each other. And we had 4 precinct atlas set up in there, and then we had separate stations for the Democrat and Republican ballots. And then others, someone to always be at the machine when they were feeding their ballots in to make sure that they went in, and just others scattered around, and it worked very well. You know, we have a few glitches here and there, but overall, everything worked very well. Like I said, I want to thank the girls in the office too, because a majority of the votes came through the office. With the Secretary of State sending out the request forms, but we wouldn't have had the turnout that we had if it hadn't been for the Secretary of State taking the initiative to send out request forms to all voters. And right now, there's some legislators that are trying to change that and to not allow the Secretary of State to declare emergencies in these kind of situations and to help the counties, and I think it's a detriment to voters. So that's a whole nother issue. But other than that, the results are staying the same, the declared winners. And so if you have any questions, if anybody has any questions, please let me know.
Congratulations to everybody. Rodney, thank you. You guys did a great job.
Yeah, we voted, Carol and I and our granddaughter voted out at the SEC.
And I want to thank those workers too, because there was, and that's another reason too, is I didn't know how many workers I was going to have, because as soon as this started coming about, there were several of them that were already contacting me and saying that, no, I'm not, they were in that area, that age group, and they didn't want to assist, and I found a large group, and there was a couple of them that called and said, you know, hey, you know, I'm there if you need me as a backup, and I did end up calling a couple of them. And boy, they jumped right in. And I mean, one worker came down here the day of the election to help with the absentee board. So, you know, they were, I'm very happy with all of our workers. They did very well.
That's good. Good job. I, hearing no objections or comments, I would move to approve this election.
I would second that, Bob.
Terry.
Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
I congratulate Jim also. Repeat me.
any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items.
I have none. Well, wait a minute, we were going to talk about coming up about the ATV thing, so we're going to wait a while on that,
yeah. I guess it doesn't matter to me. I thought maybe when the sheriff would be convenient. Just sort of wanted to get started talking about that. Back to other business, if we could, because I'm just thinking, we mentioned on that, we talked, we look at it, and I know you went through a bunch of those masks. And we thought maybe a week of doing that. Let's do it for another week, find out what the court system wants. We're screening people at that door, and we'll have a better idea. We'll have a week under our belt, or a week and a day, and have an idea what the courts want. So let's go ahead and leave somebody screening there. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
The second week then?
Yeah, let's just finish it and start next week, unless we pull the plug on it for some reason next week, but let's just go ahead like we're going to continue next week doing the same thing.
I got quick other business too, and I'll mention this again next week, but just to kind of start the reminder to the public that somewhere probably in the 2 to 3 week range, we'll start a paving project on Upper Flint Road, which is the road there. If you are on Highway 61. You can go Flint Bottom one direction, or you go Upper Flint towards the golf course. And so that road will be closed when we do that. So again, we've already sent a letter to the landowners along there, and we'll do the same thing, but we're gonna replace a couple thousand foot or something like that, or the worst end of that, mostly to make Mrs. Broker happy, but also because it needs done.
It was great about a week or two ago. We were going, I don't remember where you're going on Upper Flint Road. My wife goes, she said, you need to fix this road. I said, yes, dear. Nobody tell her that I...
That's right. That's action.
It was already...
That is a project. I don't know the exact site. Actually, we have a pre-construction meeting tomorrow morning, and I'll give you more information next Tuesday. But just a heads up, that project is going to come along.
That'll be nice if it's done, because that's going to be a main detour coming from...
When you put the
bridge out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did you say that would be closed?
Oh, I would guess right around the month.
Okay.
And then when's Gear Avenue going to... So it'll basically be closed on either side of the...
There's an outside chance. Yes, the answer would be. Gear could open before that one either closes or before it's completely done. They're actually the same contractors on both projects. So it just depends on how things button up on Gear. So with the reduction still in traffic, and especially this time of year, because even during the summer, there's no SEC and stuff like that, it really hasn't been a lot of negative feedback. So it's worked out good. And really, somebody going one way isn't gonna go the other way that changed their route because they're opposite directions. So you're right, we're gonna have them closed both ways, but I don't think it'll majorly impact people. They'll just have to go into Burlington and find a different route around.
Thanks, Brian. Committee reports.
I did a conservation meeting this week, as you heard Chris say. That's not of them.
I attended a Zoom crisis intervention training meeting, and they were discussing in an upcoming training here in Burlington. So that's all I have. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, and I didn't give this at the beginning, but you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. And we will wait 2 minutes to give somebody that wants to call or email an opportunity to comment.
Well, Tom, one thing I wanted to remind you, it doesn't involve you guys, but tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, my post-election audit board is going to be in here to audit Precinct 5 from SEC, because that's one of the things that they started a couple years ago.
Is that the state that audits?
Yeah, the Secretary of State. They do a luck of the draw for a precinct, and then they let us know, and then we have to take all the ballots for that particular precinct. And the audit board will recount them. They'll tell them which race to count, and then just verify that it comes out the same with all of our tickets, all of our machine counts.
Sure.
So, it's always come out perfect. So,
do they do that each county, or do they just pick out a few counties?
No, they do every county.
They do what? They pull a precinct from every county.
It used to be, at first they were going to do random, so everybody was kind of on the edge, or do we have to schedule this board or not? And then they finally decided every county, they will just draw which precinct needs to be recounted or audited. So,
but they don't trust us, our canvas.
It's just another part of clarifying the elections. So,
I see.
Just to show everybody that our machines are working properly, and by them hand counting it, that it's coming out the same.
Thank you, Terry. Anybody here have any comments? Complaints? this would be your chance, Janelle. You probably should have learned.
It's all good.
Can I ask, did we turn anybody away yesterday from having a fever?
We did not. Everyone was had no fever. We had a couple as the day was getting hotter that was starting to temperature. Their temperature was creeping up a little because they'd been outside, but no one. Yeah, 100.4 is what Iowa Department of Public Health and CDC consider a temp, and we had no one that was even close to that. So it was good.
Good.
We would like to encourage though, only if you're coming to do your plates, you probably don't need to bring the whole family. You know, the mom, the dad, and the two or three kids with them, so...
Somebody can bring the car.
I did notice that happen a few times, so, I mean, you know, if you don't have no other place, you know, I guess you have to bring them, but we would like to try and keep this traffic down as much as possible, so if you can leave most of the family at home and come down yourself and get your plates or whatever business you have, that would be great, so we did have that a few times yesterday, and it just kind of congests things and whatnot, so.
Good point, Rodney, thank you.
You know, when they send that application out to you, you know, for your new plates, if you just mail that back in, that extra dollar there, is so you get it in the mail and you don't have to make this trip down there and spend $2 for gas.
Yeah.
So.
And there's still a lot of people like do business face-to-face, which that's fine, you know. Some people maybe don't have internet or whatever, so we're still in the area.
I don't know.
A lot of people like doing the face-to-face business, so, and that's perfectly fine, so we just ask to maybe keep the rest of the family home if they don't need to be here to do the business.
Can we put out there that you're going to babysit for them?
I can put them to work.
That'll
be the babysitter.
Yeah. Can't cover the child labor law.
Give them the keys.
I believe a lot of people are still using the Dropboxes, aren't they?
There's still lots to go. I think we did almost 128 titles yesterday.
Is that what most of us are title transfer?
Not mostly, but there's a lot of plate exchanges going on and replacement titles, and there were a few registration renewals just because a lot of people like to do that in person.
Yeah.
As much as we encourage Dropbox, mail, and online, that's, you know, the way they prefer to do business.
Okay. Seeing no public input, with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.